This next story is also from Pakistan, but it's about a subject that few discussed openly until recently. We're going to meet some of Pakistan's transgender men. It's not uncommon in Pakistan. You walk through a market or you stand on the corner and you encounter a beggar, a transgender beggar. The transgender men in Pakistan tend to stand out from the crowd. They dress in colorful female clothes with stuffed bras. They wear bright makeup and shiny jewelry. And transgender beggars are playful and provocative. They call their male targets darling or prince. But Fahad Desmukh reports from Karachi that Pakistani transgenders are completely serious about who they are.
All of this seems out of place on the streets of Karachi. Even for heterosexuals, it's generally taboo to express sexuality in public in Pakistan. And yet, somehow transgenders seem confident about putting their sexuality on display. They're known locally as hijras, but they prefer the term murat, the word they use with each other. There are no official statistics, but community leaders say there are at least 50,000 murats scattered across Pakistan. I've been invited to meet with a few murats living in a small commune in North Karachi. It's a small but well-decorated apartment up on the third floor. Inside, I meet Guru Zaini, Sarah Gill, and Natasha Khan. While most murats are known for being beggars, dancers, or sex workers, these three are notable for being more educated, and they're professionals. Guru Zaini is a 30-something makeup artist and is the oldest in the commune.
There's a woman inside each of us. We consider ourselves as women, and we want to live as women, but no one accepts us. Everyone tells us this is not right, and that we should live as males. But we cannot live as men because the spirit inside of us is feminine, and we didn't choose this. It's been like this since we were born.
But being a murat is about more than gender identity or sexuality. They also belong to a tightly knit hierarchical sisterhood that goes back centuries and spans South Asia. Guru Zaini is a teacher to the other murats in the commune. In fact, you can't call yourself a murat without having a guru. And disciples of the same guru are supposed to treat each other like siblings.
Murat brotherhood is like a family.
Natasha explains. We have disciples and we have gurus who are like parents, she says. They guide us and support us in good and bad times, like when we don't get support from our families. When we go out, we need guidance from somewhere, as no one can survive on their own. And there's more than just this kinship system. There are formal initiation rites when one becomes a member of the sisterhood. They have an internal legal system defining a code of conduct and consequences for violating it. They even have their own secret vocabulary that they use when speaking to each other. It may seem surprising that a group based on gender identity has the traits of a secret society, but this is a result of the complicated status they have in mainstream society. The murat community does have a measure of acceptance within strictly defined roles. They're often portrayed in popular media, but most of the time it's for comic relief. In the 1979 Pakistani film Aurat Raj, they're briefly shown singing about how their historic position in the imperial courts makes them fit to govern the country. In fact, the murat claim the heritage of the eunuchs who served in the royal harems of past empires. Some even reached powerful posts in the imperial courts. But their more common role has been to dance and give blessings at weddings and birth ceremonies in exchange for some money. They were viewed as having no gender and therefore no lusts, which, in the eyes of some, made their blessing sacred and their curse potent. But over the last century, this traditional view has faded. Today, the only roles in which they're accepted in society are as street beggars or prostitutes, where they face the risk of violence. Dr. Sikandar Sohani is a physician with Ahang, an NGO that works on sexual health and sexuality rights in Pakistan.
Their work is to please, their work is to sing, their work is to beggar. They are not allowed to access to these health, educational and other social services. We haven't identified what are the need of this community.
For a murat, trying to live a life outside of these roles created for them is extremely difficult. Natasha is a university graduate that has trained to be a chef. She completed a six-month internship cooking at one of Karachi's top hotels where she worked as a male. But when she came out as a transgender, she had to quit.
They told me to cut your hairs, which I don't want because I'm a transgender and I feel like female. There are so many females working and they have long hairs and long nails. They wear female dresses. Then why should I face these problems just because I'm a transgender? Then I talked with my HR department that I can't continue my job being male. And if you want me to work here, then you should accept that I'll work here like a transgender. But they told me that you can't continue.
But recently, there's been a new wave of activism among the Murat community struggling for their civil rights. Sara Gill is among the most active. She's in her second year of med school and training to be Pakistan's first transgender doctor. A friend named Sanya Baloch encouraged her to be an activist.
Actually, I was very upset about my gender. I had attempted suicide even. So Sanya Baloch was a person which told me it's better to fight for your rights because you will get nothing if you, you know, kill yourself. So at that time, I decided that I will work for my community and I will work for me.
Sara and other transgenders have set up a number of NGOs that work on mobilizing the community and petitioning the courts. In the short time they've been campaigning, they've won some small but significant victories. Last year, the Supreme Court came out with several landmark rulings on issues like their right to health, education, employment, and inheritance. Maybe the most surprising was a court order to add transgender as a third gender category on national identity cards. The government has yet to fully implement these rulings, and there is still a ways to go before transgenders are accepted as equals by the rest of society. But these rulings are pushing the boundaries of how sex and gender are viewed by the Pakistani state. Though, Sara tells me, she would prefer if the state stopped trying to define gender altogether.
Because I just want to tell that we are human beings too.
For The World, I'm Fahad Desmukh in Karachi, Pakistan.